We begin on campus, where UNC police are urging students to keep an eye on their belongings after reports of thefts in four academic buildings, Fordham Hall, Wilson Hall, Coker Hall, and the Genome Science Building, all of those affiliated with the biology department. The suspect reportedly took items from unattended backpacks. Also at UNC, investigators have found lead in five more buildings on campus, Battle Hall, Hill Hall, the Henry Owl Building, and two dorm buildings now, Spencer Residence Hall and Stacy Residence Hall. Officials have now found lead in 13 campus buildings since testing began in August, drinking fountains mostly, but some sinks. You can get the full list of buildings on our website, chapelboro.com. Also on campus, students gathered on Friday for a rally against gun violence following a mass shooting in Raleigh that killed five people. Reporters for Carolina Connection spoke with two of the organizers, Megan Chen and Luke Diasio from UNC's chapter of March for Our Lives.
It's gotten to the point where when shootings happen, not a lot of people care about it because it happens so often. And it's gotten to the point where it's just too bizarre for the people who are directly impacted. And a good amount of us are directly impacted. Even if we don't know somebody who has been a victim of gun violence, we still connect with the communities who are at risk.
Like Megan said, we're definitely growing desensitized to the issue of mass shootings. There have been 300,000 students who have been on a campus where a mass shooting has occurred. And the kind of collective community trauma that results from that is horrible. And we haven't seen enough change in America. So as a group, we're really trying to fight to push for more concrete action by Congress. We got closer with the Safer Communities Bill in June, but there's still more work to do.
When the Second Amendment was made, it took minutes to reload a gun, and now we have assault rifles that fire way too many shots per minute.
The right to own a gun should not infringe upon the right to live a life. Too many guns is basically just infringing upon that more important base right. But I will say, March for Our Lives is a nonpartisan group, and we're advocating for better gun policy, sensible gun policy. You know, a lot of the founders of March for Our Lives have parents, have relatives who own firearms, and we're not looking for America to completely get rid of weapons, so we want to be very clear. We're looking for sensible gun policy that everyone can agree on, and that's what we're pushing for.
That's Megan Chen and Luke Diasio there, speaking with Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs on Saturdays on 97.9 The Hill. Two local government meetings tonight, both at 7 p.m. First up, the Carrboro Town Council, with an agenda that includes a discussion of the town's bike plan, a presentation on the Orange County Food Council, and an update to the town's branding guidelines. Orange County commissioners also meeting tonight. They'll continue examining school safety in the wake of recent on-campus protests by discussing the parameters of a new school safety task force. Get the links to both agendas on our website, chapelboro.com. Over now to Chapel Hill, where volunteers gathered on Saturday on the Booker Creek Trail for a day of planting trees. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
You need to put enough dirt back that the tree is about this much taller than the surrounding ground. Does that make sense to everybody?
It's a beautiful fall morning in Chapel Hill, with people gathering along the Booker Creek Trail. Dozens of middle schoolers, high schoolers, and adults are standing around Adam Smith of the Parks and Recreation Department as he demonstrates the proper way to plant young trees.
You gotta pull up some of the roots to rough them up a little bit, okay?
Before long, the trail is bustling with people at work. They are clearing invasive or dead plants, digging holes for the new trees, making cages to protect them from deer, and many other activities. In the middle of the action are Neil and Jeanette Bench. Neil is taking questions from the young volunteers about where to find equipment or which trees to grab.
We have 70 trees to plant today. If we get that all planted, that would be great.
Jeanette, meanwhile, is helping coordinate further down the trail and is initialing volunteer hour sheets or attendance slips from the participants. The pair of Chapel Hill residents are largely to credit for how work like this along Booker Creek Trail began. The pair have lived in the town for decades, nearby to the town-owned Greenway, and have served on a variety of parks commissions over the years. While recommending visions and details in that way, the Benches also started taking some care of Booker Creek Trail into their own hands around 2018. What started as a monthly way for local children to be active outdoors and maintain a trail blossomed into a sustained effort that's created a significant community. Not only do invasive species of plants get cleared out en masse to open up views to the surrounding forest, but it's led to additions of trees, the uncovering of rock formations, and beautification projects involving nearby Owassa pipes. Alongside partnering with local Audubon Society members, Jeanette Bench says the volunteer trail days attract neighbors and trail users who are interested in helping. Perhaps the biggest component is working with the Y Youth Leadership, Chinese American Association, and various church groups who have all pitched in over the years.
4 years later, we still have 80 kids coming. And of course, I get to see it every day because I walk by it, which makes it very rewarding. But persistence is what it takes.
Neil Bench agrees, saying hearing the kids interact and work with each other is his favorite part.
There's so many benefits to this. And at the end of each of these, guaranteed, and many of these kids will say, when's the next one? That's what they say to Jeanette every time they leave. You know, can we do this next week?
In total, more than 1,000 volunteer hours have been spent along Booker Creek Trail due to the Bench's efforts, with a noticeable change in the environment for those traveling along the path. Because of that work, members of the Chapel Hill Parks and Recreation Department nominated the Benches for a special statewide honor. This week, the North Carolina Recreation and Park Association will give the 2022 Rip Jackson Award to the Chapel Hill Duo, in honor of their years of service on advisory boards, but also their efforts to enhance parks and community recreation. Neil says he and Jeanette learned the news after getting called to coffee by Parks and Recreation Director Philip Fleischman and Park Planning Manager Kevin Robinson.
When they said it to us, you know, of course we said thank you, and then we thought about it for a minute and went, that was really cool of you guys to think of us and think of the ideas we have and the work we're doing and the causes we support. Apparently, you believe are good for yourselves and good for the town, and it's really cool.
It's not surprising that Neil is quick to credit the team of people who have helped do the landscaping and maintenance of the trail over the years. Jeanette says the same about the town's parks and recreation staff, who have been receptive and active in aiding their efforts.
It's great to have a really good relationship with staff. They've been phenomenal, the Parks and Recs department. So, of course, it feels good. So, we're very happy to have been nominated and then, you know, to receive it in the competition of the statewide. So, that's very nice. Nice feeling.
As the clock passes noon on Saturday, many of the trees that started off in pots are set into the ground with fresh mulch and are being watered. More tree planting efforts are set elsewhere in the town as Arbor Day is recognized in November. And shortly after that, on another Saturday morning, you'll likely find the Benches and many other Chapel Hill residents hard at work along the Booker Creek Trail. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
State-level news. The abortion fight continues in Raleigh as abortion providers deal with a spike in patients coming into North Carolina from states with more restrictive laws following the Supreme Court's decision striking down Roe v. Wade. Yesterday, Planned Parenthood filed a court request asking judges to block a law that requires a licensed physician to prescribe pills for medication-induced abortions. They say physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and certified midwives are also qualified to do the same thing. Back locally, good news for Orange County Habitat for Humanity. Over the weekend, they announced a $1 million donation from the Oak Foundation to help them build Weaver's Grove, their new housing community in northern Chapel Hill. Habitat's hoping to raise $7.5 million for the project, set to begin construction next year. With this gift, they're now less than $1 million away from hitting that goal. And in national news, cleanup continues in Florida from Hurricane Ian, which made landfall 3 weeks ago. Some Florida towns were able to stave off some of the damage by investing in resilience efforts ahead of the storm. Ashley Ward is with the Nicholas Institute for Energy, Environment, and Sustainability at Duke University. She spoke with 97.9 The Hill about the efforts in Florida and what communities can do here in our region.
Really interesting in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian in Florida is a place called Babcock Ranch in Florida, 12 miles northeast of Fort Myers. About 2,000 homes, it was an engineered community built for resilience and sustainability, adaptation to climate change, powered by solar power. Lots of nature-based solutions. They designed their streets and parks to flood so their houses wouldn't. And you know what? They didn't. 12 miles outside of Fort Myers, they should have been hammered, but they had no flooding. They never lost power and never lost internet. So for those who have been wondering whether or not these techniques work, hopefully Babcock Ranch could end up being a model for communities across the country, and it would be great to see something like that in Eastern North Carolina. We're asking for organizations, local governments, communities, individuals to really change their way of thinking around, our infrastructure and, you know, how we structure our communities. And that's not an easy, quick change, but it is one that has to happen, and it has to happen on a relatively quick timeline in order to meet the demands of what's happening to us now. You know, I want to circle back around to one point talking about how local communities finance these things. We've talked a lot about the BRIC program with FEMA. And again, I just circle back around to those local governments. If you are looking for dollars to finance resilience projects, to really invest in a staff member who knows how to apply for FEMA dollars, BRIC dollars, and secure those and manage them. That's something that you can do in your local community right now.
That's Ashley Ward there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Time is 6:21. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. Coming off Saturday's win over Duke, more individual honors for Tar Heel football players. Freshman Drake May was named ACC Quarterback of the Week and ACC Rookie of the Week after putting up a career-high 380 passing yards and 3 TDs, including that game winner with 16 seconds left. Defensive back DeAndre Boykins is your ACC Defensive Back of the Week for the second week in a row after setting a new career-high with 7 tackles, including a sack. UNC's off this weekend, but they're back in action next Saturday, the 29th, hosting Pitt. Game time for that one has been set for 8 p.m., another nighttime game for the Heels. Honors also coming in for Carolina basketball stars just a few weeks away from the start of their season. On the women's side, junior Deja Kelly has been named to the 20-player watch list for the Nancy Lieberman Award that goes to the nation's top point guard. On the men's side, not an individual honor, but a team honor. UNC is number 1 in the nation in the AP's preseason rankings for the first time since 2015 and the 10th time overall, most of any program. Gonzaga is number 2, followed by Houston and Kentucky. 2 other ACC teams in the top 25. Duke is number 7. Virginia is number 18. Elsewhere in sports, volleyball star Anita Babich has been named ACC Freshman of the Week after leading Carolina in 2 matches over the weekend. And big congrats to Tar Heel tennis stars Fiona Crawley and Carson Tangelig. They won the ITA regional doubles title on Sunday after beating the top 2 seeds in the semis and finals, respectively. One Carolina team in action tonight, UNC men's soccer. They're on the road at Elon starting at 7. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes are now 3-0 on the season after a 5-1 win at Seattle last night. Their road swing continues Thursday night at Edmonton.